Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am Shua Allegra, the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. So we are talking all about resilience. All we do here is about, all around resilience, helping people rise above their circumstances. So I'm inviting new friends and some old ones to kind of talk about this theme of resilience. And today I have a new friend with me. So, Emmanuel, I'll just give you a chance to introduce yourself. Let us know a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Everybody, I'm Emmanuel Anthony, human behavioral researcher, writer, teacher, author, and consultant. I've assisted clients in the last 11 years. I've been blessed to work with thousands of clients internationally and nationally around Australia to create change in all seven areas of their life: physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. And resilience, being one of the major themes that you have here, is one of the major things that I assist my clients to do, because no matter what challenges or goals they're setting, whether they're past challenges of ex they've experienced, current things that they're still holding on to, or future challenges they will have, resilience is one of the most major things that people need to have. Because the greater the degree of resilience that you have, the greater the degree of challenges you feel you're actually able to take on in your life, which means you're able to evolve and grow and transcend in all areas of life, not just one.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks for all that you do in this world. And I like how you say the greater level of resilience, the greater challenges you can take. Often people, as human, nobody likes to be uncomfortable, right? So when challenges come, we're like, we're ducking it out, like, no, I'm gonna try to get the shortcut, run away, don't do this, I don't want to deal with it. It's like we all have this, I do call it this want or need to run away from challenges, right? But so I want you if you can just touch on that, like I expand on kind of that, that what you just said, and also maybe, from your research and from your work, why is it that we run away from challenges if we actually know, as we're finding out, that it helps us become more resilient?
Can definitely start off there. So every human being on planet Earth has a amygdala, which is the animal part of the human mind, and the amygdala is irrational, meaning that it breaks the ratio of 1 to 1 in positive and negative in its perceptions, and consistently looks to avoid pain and seek pleasure. It looks for the a reality that we could call a fantasy, because it's one-sided in polarization and can never exist. And the greatest source of human suffering comes from attempting to find that which is unfindable, and all happiness and no pain, all pleasure, very much hedonistic in terms of living style. And a lot of what we see in marketing promotes that as well. Happily ever after, you get married, et cetera. It's not that. It has two sides. And the sooner you embrace both, the sooner you can evolve and transcend. But when you look for a one-sided reality and then try and hold on to that one-sided reality, they're the greatest sources of human pain. Now, the amygdala was a very primitive part of the brain, and it's not good or bad. We required that when we were getting chased, and we weren't as evolved as we were by much bigger predators. And it stimulates a part of you that will make sure that you toughen up the fibers in your body if you're being attacked. If you ever had a fight with a sibling and then later on had some scars, and you go, "Why didn't I notice that before?" That would be because the minute that your amygdala notices these things, it strengthens you, strengthens so that you can jump faster, jump higher, takes your pupils and dilates them so you can see a lot more. It basically maximizes your potential as a human being for that fight or flight response. The problem is that's meant to be a short-term response, not a long-term lifestyle. And especially in the 20th century, when we're not getting chased by gazelles or anything like that. I don't know where anybody listening to this lives, but I highly doubt 90% of the audience is getting chased by gazelles or lions or anything like that. Most of us are living probably in a suburban area, maybe a country area or a city area, and what you have is a pretty comfortable lifestyle. You live in a bed or things like that. If you're listening to this on the internet and Wi-Fi, you're considerably comfortable. We activate this part of the mind, and it's a very prehistoric, primitive part of us that gets highly emotional. And when it does that, it throws out the autonomic nervous system, which is getting your fight or flight highly active. So you'll feel that you have temporary moments of pleasure, but they'll come with temporary moments of pain, because the other side always comes in. Now, there's a much more evolved part of the mind, and that's called the forebrain. And the forebrain has evolved, as we have, in order to bring balance to our perceptions and allow us to see both sides. So I call resilience the speed at which we can see both sides of any event, situation, or thing. That's what resilience is. The faster the speed we can see both sides, the faster we can turn that into fuel for our fire. I've done that for 11 years, taking my clients' biggest problems, and they'll say, I'm not resilient towards my partner breaking up with me. I'll say, okay, let's look at the other side. What are all the benefits and the services to you if that was to happen, until they can see both? And they go, oh, actually, I can see this as blessings and stressings, benefits and drawbacks. And they would have done it in weeks, months, or years later anyway, because you can take the biggest problems you've had in your life. 20 years later, somebody may have to remind you that you had that problem because you're focusing on new ones. The key is not to make it a lifestyle and learn how to do that today and how to do that this week, instead of holding on to that and losing a lot more than what we're willing to do. So that's what resilience is, the degree and the speed in which you can see both sides of any events. Also what I call wisdom, because the wiser you are, the more you're able to see both sides of anything occurring and use that as fuel for your fire. And then when you do that, you realize that life isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. It's all on the way, not in the way. And the challenges that you experience are necessary as part of your growth. So there's no point in running away from challenges. The wisest thing you can do is do what you love and love what you do, because in those areas, you actually look for challenges. And every time you evolve and take on a challenge, you can't wait to take on the next one, because you're doing what's most meaningful, inspiring to you, and what's most valuable. Now, another reason is that we're here to master all seven areas of life: physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. And there may be some areas that we really want to master, maybe finances, maybe physical. We want to look great, maybe social, we want to be empowered. But out of the seven areas, you'll find there's a few that you go, yeah, not really interested in that. And the problem being, what you run away from, you run into. So that one-sided reality where you go, oh yeah, things will work out there in the future. No, the problems usually get bigger. And before you know it, a mini problem turns into a biggie problem. And so if you don't look at your finances, for example, next thing you know, you've got massive tax bills, and now you're going to have a reduction in lifestyle and financial potential because of that. So instead of running and avoiding, the wiser ones of us learn to evolve, just like animals do in nature, and get receptive towards the challenges and look for the pain and the pleasure, the benefits and the drawbacks, look for both sides and look to be able to use both to our advantage, so life is consistently falling in front of us on the way that we want.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I can stay here, just listen to you all day. And I love how you're going to bring the neuroscience into it. And I think the more we understand the power of the brain, the more effective we are in achieving those goals in life and thriving. You know, the whole idea of human flourishing, it's because we actually understand how much your brain, you know, has, how much you can do with your brain, you know, and to benefit you. But I also like how you mentioned the kind of looking at both sides. I think we live in a society in general, not just, you know, here in the US, Australia, where you are. I think just a human being, we tend to focus on what is, you know, one thing at a time most of the time, or when we're trying to do, you know, we're trying to focus on more than one, we're focusing on too many things, right? And then kind of this microwave society, what we're doing, do, and just, we don't even know what we're focusing on again, right? Just too many things at once. And so if you don't mind sharing, even from, you know, your work, how, In a society where one, we are avoiding, you know, all the avoiding challenges, and then, like you said, they kind of bite you in the face later on, right? They get bigger and bigger, and then we tend to focus so much sometimes on things that don't even matter. That's taking our energy, that's taking, you know, our focus, taking, you know, even our joy and our peace, and then we find ourselves again overwhelmed by again things that are not meaningful. How can we, as human beings, how can we maybe again, using the idea of using our brain to our power, you know, how can we activate the part of those brains, if you want, or, you know, any tips or suggestions to, for us to help us be more focused on what matters, and then pursuing kind of that, you know, what you talked about, embracing, you know, the both sides of the equation of life.
So it's a multidimensional aspect in terms of answering that. The first part is organizing your time, because the more you organize your time and the more you give yourself permission to realize that you're an important person in this world. There's only one of you. Your fingerprint specific, your eye retina specific. There is no two of either one of those. They're very, very much one and non-identical. So whatever it is that you are here to offer the world, whatever's most valuable and meaningful to you, you're here to give that. And if you don't give that, the world never sees it. And imagine a world without Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, I'm an obsessive golfer. So even Brooke Koepka or any of the golfers that I look up to, if they didn't give themselves permission to do that, I wouldn't be watching them and saying, wow, being inspired by that. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is management of time. And I've got a lot of videos online on what I call the Wealth Maximizer calendar, which is a calendar where you take all seven areas of your life. Once again, they're physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. And you plan out your week from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. and you put in time slots as to when you'll be doing each of those areas of life. And if you do that, you're going to have small chunks of time to be able to work on each area of life. So you know that the word fulfillment means to feel full. You're going to be able to feel full each one of those areas, like seven glasses, you'll see them feel full at the end of the week. Yeah. The key, as you mentioned before, is a lot of people experience overwhelm, and a state of overwhelm can quite often be defined as thinking about everything at once, but doing nothing at all, because you're just sitting there thinking and stressed about it.
Great description of it, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a book, great book called The One Thing. I forgot who the author is, but it's called The One Thing. You'll be able to find it on Google. Yeah. And it says that you can only do one thing at once. And every time you try and do two things, you're doing one with 60 or 70% of your energy, and you're just doing the other one with 30. If you do three, you do one with potentially 60, another one with maybe 30, and you just remember to do the third task. Mm-hmm. So you could do a couple of things in what's known as multitasking, which is a complete, it's a fad. It's not something that you're going to be able to do for a long time without being stressed. But you can do a couple of things really half average, or you can get very key on the highest priority actions and do them in a week and put 100% of your focus, and your life will move much more forward in doing that. Mm-hmm. So the first one is the management of your time. And if you do that, and I've helped clients do that at our level three program, because like at a level one program, we work through the emotions and the foundations and the things that occupy time and space in the mind and create brain noise and get those out of the way. Mm-hmm. Level two, I make sure clients have got all the tools to actually be able to learn how to do that themselves. So they're self-sufficient and as resilient as they possibly can. Take myself out of the equation. They no longer need me. But then clients realize, hey, I need to do this in all seven areas of life in order to have life's mastery. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they need to do is organize their time so they can do that. So that's the first aspect, organization of time. Because if you don't organize your time, you're going to be highly stressed. And in fact, we get feedbacks based on our level of organization of time. If we set a goal, for example, that is too small in terms of time, but the task is bigger than the time, we have anxiety as a feedback to let us know that our time-space horizons weren't aligned.
Yeah.
If we set a goal that's very small into a bigger time space horizon, then we end up with boredom, procrastination, hesitation, and frustration because we don't get it done. When I studied graphic design when I was 17, one of the things they said to me was the worst deadline is no deadline. You won't do anything at all. And then the wisest goal we can set is one that sits close to the parameters, but gives us enough pressure to actually get the work done and move. Within that. So you get feedbacks anyway in that. And it's wiser to understand the feedback and think there's something wrong with you. Oh my goodness, I'm experiencing anxiety, etc. It's like, no, listen to the feedback. It's trying to tell you something, set more realistic time space horizons for your goals. But that's the first part. Now, once you've done that, I've studied over $300,000 worth of personal development. I've seen the world's top leaders in that, from Deepak Chopra to Tony Robbins. There's only one place where I've stopped, and it's, for me, it's the holy grail of what you can do in terms of evolution, balance, and bringing mastery to the mind. And I saw this because every time I learned something from NLP, timeline therapy, hypnosis, and kept moving up the ranks, every 100 clients I served from my first year, which is 11 plus years now in practice, I noticed that there was always something missing until I got to the DeMartini method by Dr. John DeMartini, who's my mentor today. And I was confused. I said, how can one man have so much in terms of a body of work? And then I took a little bit more further study and I realized he's the Guinness Book record holder for most books read by a human being. So he's got multidimensional understanding and he lectures and teaches in over 100 fields. So I went, okay, why would I rewrite the wheel if this man's already gone and studied both sides of polarization? Because his obsession with study, when I spoke to him, was that he would read and study both sides of whatever he was learning and make sure that he could find what the synchronicities were in the holes and then find the studies opposite to that would fill in those and continue to do that. Mm-hmm. The DeMartini method is the number one tool, and it's so powerful. It's exactly what I specialize in today as a DeMartini facilitator. And the exact purpose of the tool, there's over 1,000 uses for it, but it's to bring balance to your perceptions. And that's it. That's the result that it will give you. So if you're experiencing a grief within 30 minutes to 3 hours, done. That's balance. No grief after that. If you're experiencing anger, fear, sadness, hurt, or resentment towards yourself, anybody outside of yourself, so that's anybody in the world, an event, situation or thing. That basically is every perception you'll ever have in terms of right. a negative or positive charge. Mm-hmm. There's a specific process to bring balance to that. And it takes the mind from the animal mind and the amygdala up to the higher and more evolved part of the mind. And once the forebrain is active, we start solving problems based on seeing both sides at a faster speed. Now, on top of that, the last thing I'll mention in that is doing what you love and loving what you do. If you go to www.drdmartini.com and click on the values section, or you can also get the book, The Values Factor, it discusses the fact that every human being is teleologically built. We're here to do what we love and love what we do. And whenever we do what we love, whatever's highest in our values, and by the way, that's not honor and integrity and all of those things, they're not values. When you're doing what you love, that's when you activate those. Right. So for example, my highest values is family creation. My fiance and I are trying to have our first child at the moment. We've been trying for 2 years. Mm. My second highest values is my business, human evolution, development, and growth. I work 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday. I work a little bit on Saturday as well. But before I met my fiance, I worked 6 days, 7 days a week because I loved what I was doing. It's just time would disappear. People say, how do you work 12 hours? Mm. I said, I can't do any less because I just sit there and twinkle my toes and fingers and go, okay, I'm going to go back to work. So I organize my time to be able to do that. But by doing what you love and loving what you do, when I do those things, that's why I'm talking to you right now. I work 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. When I finish at 8 p.m., sometimes people say to me, how do you have so much energy? I say, I'm a kid in a candy store. Mm-hmm. And my body is made to do what I love and love what I do. And this is what I love. So that's why I'm rewarded with energy and vitality. But when you do the opposite of that, when you do things that are lower in your value. So if I had to do cake decorating for 12 hours a day, Monday to Friday, I would procrastinate, hesitate, frustrate, I'd be unorganized, undisciplined, unreliable, unfocused. I'd lower my self-worth because I'm not doing what I love. That's not where my genius is. I'm a fish trying to climb a tree. It's not my specialty.
Exactly.
So do what you love also. So to reiterate on those, manage your time effectively. So you're not doing low priority things, but you've actually got time for all seven areas of your life because little baby steps on a weekly basis create massive goals and massive change at the end of the year for 365 days later. Mm-hmm. Second thing you want to do is learn how to balance your perceptions. I've spoken a bit about that, but really that subject can go into huge detail, but it's usually why I teach it because there's so much to it. It's about human physiology, psychology, biology, what you're attracting, laws of attraction. There's so much involved with that. Mm-hmm. But then also getting crystal clear on what it is that you're here to do and aligning your life and your mission to going out and doing that to the greatest degree. Because when you do, you maximize human potential and you maximize resilience. I've got no problems taking on challenges in this field, but I'd have huge problems doing it in the cake decorating field because I can't be bothered. But this field, no matter what level I get to, I just want the next level. And it's not because I've got some kind of obsessive hunger that's in a negative form. It's because my fulfillment grows the more I serve humanity in this field. And everybody has that. It doesn't matter what it is. You could be a cake decorator. If that's you, then that's your highest values. That's what you want to fulfill. But whatever that is, you want to honor that.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. And so as you're just talking, I'm thinking about people who often, like my own client, like those see things like procrastination and anxiety as barriers, right? It's like, oh, now I see it. I shouldn't be that way. And they work so hard to fight those feedback, you know, instead of seeing it as such. And so I like how you reframe that. Like if you see it as feedback, then it helps you kind of align your values with what feedback you're getting. And so you then prioritize or, you know, decide, I guess, what your next step will be. And so, yeah, yes. Love that. And
there's this obsession, I'll just quickly jump in there. There's this obsession with labeling things and then feeling a sense of expertise in labeling them. Mm. And I say the labels are good for giving me an indication of where will we be working on or what's going on. But then the labels don't mean anything because in 11 years of working with clients with anxiety, I've got a 99% rate for the 1% is the clients that just don't do the work. But the other 99%, I could say 100% in the clients that do the work properly, they let go of the anxiety. Once I let go of it, they realized that there was a feedback mechanism. So anxiety is the perception that something in the future is going to have more pain than pleasure, drawbacks and benefits, disservice and service. Mm-hmm. And the ratio of your perceptions, so if I gave you a sheet of paper and I said, what are you anxious about? My partner breaking up with me. How negative? Can you write all the negatives of that on one side of a paper and all the positives on the other? And you handed back a 18 negatives and 2 positives, you got a 1-9 ratio, meaning for every 1 positive, you've got 9 negatives. Yeah. That's now giving me an understanding of why, because what you see and perceive is the central nervous system's reaction to that, which is the brain. And it communicates through your body, through neurology, and down to the autonomic nervous system. And the autonomic nervous system regulates chemicals and hormones. So it's just taking whatever that ratio is and distributing it into a chemical and hormone reaction, which we call emotions.
Yeah.
The higher the extremity between your perceptions, the greater the polarization, the greater the level of anxiety. But the lower, the closer to 1-to-1, which is a state of balance, wellness, and well-being in the body, then the less of the disease that you actually experience, which is body not at ease. But that's one aspect of anxiety. The second aspect, which is quite often not spoken about, and once again, this goes back to why we always bring balance. Okay. One is the perceived negative that you're exaggerating in the future. Mm-hmm. The other one is seeing the positive that you have a fear of the loss of in that. So it's the fear of the loss of the relationship and the fear of the gain of not having the relationship and being alone. Mm-hmm. And both of those have to be points of balance. So if a person doesn't understand that feedback, they could end up on a lot of pharmaceutical drugs, like I've had clients do,
yeah,
and be on that for years instead of understanding what's actually happening within the mind. And the minute they bring it into balance, they go, oh, the anxiety's not here anymore. And I said, yes, mm-hmm, you've got an amazing power to bring balance through your perceptions. And your mind is something that you can learn to control, but it takes some work. And most people sometimes don't want to do the work. It's easier to take a pill and go to La La Land at times than it can be to invest the time to actually work through something. It's only a few hours to a couple of weeks sometimes to some people, but the minute they get it done, it's done for life.
Right. But I think, like, with the idea of, you know, and I know, you know, there sometimes there is place and, you know, space and time for, you know, medicine, but I think the idea of people avoiding doing the work is the same as the same concept or need to avoid the pain, right? And like, oh, it's going to take work. But if we, like you said, bring everything in balance, if I can focus on the outcome, what I'll get on the other side of that work, and it makes it worthwhile, right? And then you can align that with your values. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're talking about use over abuse. And I think in that, but you and I both speak in the same language.
Yes.
Everything has a time and a place, and we're living in a society where we have so many advancements that we can do things with medicine that are absolutely amazing. My challenge is, in 11 years of practice, I've seen so much abuse overuse. It's the first solutions. It's the first thing we're going to. Mm-hmm. And there's a price that we pay for everything. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you watch The Last Dance of Michael Jordan, you'll notice that he paid a price for greatness and being the best in the world at his craft, same as Kobe Bryant as well, because I used to watch a lot of basketball. So there's a price we pay for everything. But the minute that we look for pharmaceutical harsh treatments, which are going to have an impact on our liver and our kidney, as the first step in every single thing that happens, I've got a cold, I've got a flu, my nose is sniffling, oh, I've got a headache. All of those things, instead of saying, hold on, I got a headache. Have I drank enough water today? Have I exercised a lot?
Enough sleep.
Is it a hot day? Have I not slept? Have I not gone through the four phases of sleep that were necessary? And now I'm asking more out of my body. It's like trying to, if you're low on petrol, we're trying to drive a couple of kilometers, you're not going to be able to do that because you don't have, the two aren't matching up in order to make that occur. So I think as a society, we need to look for the things that damage our bodies the least and then move to the things that potentially are higher risk and damage the body the most. And if we can do that, we get longevity. But if we don't, that's when we end up with a lot of trials and tribulations. And once again, that's not saying we shouldn't take pharmaceuticals. I'm saying that people need to make wiser decisions around a lot of the pharmaceuticals that they take.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. I've seen that my own clients, personal life, loved ones, how, if the, you know, it taking the easy way out, it always has a price to pay, right? And a price that has more negative, if you want, you know, losses than gains. And then when we just, you know, make that decision to go for, do the work, we actually reap long-term benefits.
Well, that's what resilience is. Even resilience has pain and pleasure. You're not going to get a one-sided fantasy out of thinking, if I'm resilient, I get everything that I want in the world. No, it isn't.
No.
Resilience is hard work every single day, but you're falling forwards. And as you get resilient, whatever was hard yesterday just becomes like your normality for today. Mm-hmm. And then you find the next level of hard and you keep moving up. But eventually people look at you and they say, wow, you know, something happened last week, and that's usually something that would send you over the edge. I even had to wait a second to see how you're going to react to it. And you kind of shrugged it off like it was nothing. Wow. And you go, oh yeah, I did too. And you realize that your level of growth within that area and your perceptions has evolved to the point where what you used to make a big problem isn't even a small stepping stone anymore in that, because that's how you've evolved. So that's why I would rather evolve to do that we don't mind taking on new challenges, but we feel a little crazy or insane when we feel like we're taking the same challenge again and again. So I feel like mm-hmm. we're hitting our head against a wall. It's like, come on, let's just get past this one so I can at least do something different. Yeah. And yeah, and that's not just my clients, that's me too.
Yeah,
regardless of what is happening in my life, I'm going to move to the next challenge, not the same one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing you said that I just love was the idea of, you know, loving what you do. And I'm paraphrasing here, if you don't mind saying how you said it, which is powerful.
Do love what you do and do what you love. Loved it so much. I got that tattooed on my body. It's a reminder, so I'd never forget.
Love it. And as I think in my own life is that as challenges came and, you know, and went, a new one came, like you say, kind of, you know, rising up to a new challenge and building that resilience. What kept me moving forward or even falling forward sometime was because I was doing what I love and I love what I do, you know, and like, sometimes I could be so tired taking my kids to the park and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. And I'll lay there before I know it, I'm to my farm again. Oh, I need something to do, right? It doesn't feel like work because you're so passionate about it. And it just actually energizes me. And, you know, and that keeps me definitely keeps me going. So yeah,
yes, it's maximizing human potential. We're designed that way. Our bodies are designed that way. A lot of people think, oh, it's a fantasy. There's a multitude. There's one, it's a fantasy. You're not meant to do what you love. You're meant to just, get a job and do this and that. And I go, okay, fine. But if that was the case, why would you have so many symptoms internally inside of you going completely against you when you try and live within that dynamic? That's not a dynamic. That's an imposed style of living that you've injected onto yourself based on your perceptions of authority figures outside of you that you feel that you're scared to hurt or let down if you do that. But then the problem is, as Demartini said it best when he said, I'd rather have the whole world on the outside against me than my mortal soul on the inside. That's the same. I got to live with me every day. I don't have to live with the hate, the naysayers in that. So I would rather live an authentic life. The other thing is you're going to have support and challenge regardless of what you do anyway. So I may as well have it in the area that I love. I don't want to argue with people in areas I don't give a crap about. I'm like, hey, you can win that argument. I don't care. This is a waste of my time. But if you want to argue with me over human behavior, growth, evolution, psychology, physio, yeah, I'm glad to do that. So I'm setting up, and just like a casino, I'm setting up the odds in my favor in life by understanding how human physiology works, how my body works, how to maximize its potential. And in doing so, that to me is not only leading to the greatest level of fulfillment, but I've actually seen my life grow in all seven areas and other people be inspired by that. And I feel that we're all designed to do that. And the feedback that we're receiving every second of the day, every second, every hour, every minute, is our soul, which is a spirit of unconditional love, that's acronym for that, trying to get you to give yourself the self-worth and the permission, that's the other two things that people have challenges with in doing what they love, to actually go out and do what you love and love what you do. And the other thing, you know, the last note on that is a lot of people think, if I do what I love, I'm just going to quit my job and go do that. It's not a wise idea. Mm-hmm. You got to get clarity on what you love and take baby steps towards it. So quite often when I'm working with people in that area to get clear on their mission, first, we're getting clear on what their mission is. We're getting clear on what their purpose is. And then we're setting baby steps. Sometimes that means it's like they've got a part-time job outside of their full-time job as they build and grow and research how specifically they want to leave an impact in that field. And then eventually, as they get certainty, they take the next level of investment and they slowly kind of, one goes up and one goes down. The full-time job eventually goes to part-time as they start to make more finances in that area. And then it overtakes that other area in finances. And then it's unwise for them to do anything but that from a financial and a fulfillment standpoint. Yeah. So you can methodically move from one area to another, but you've got to get that clarity first. And that's the values factor or dmartini.com, and then hit the values area and spend half an hour getting clear on that. I do it every month. Every single month I get clear on that. I don't want to guess what my highest values are. I want to know what they are. And then that month I want to embrace them and do them to the greatest degree. And then next month get clarity on it again in case they change.
Yeah, awesome. So definitely, you know, check out that website. We'll make sure we include it also in the caption here as we share this. And you also talked about kind of managing your time, and you had a tool you said that people could access. Like, where can we access that? You mentioned, I think, a website.
So I've got a few videos. I'll try and find where they are and send them across to you. It's more something we teach in our private community, but I've done a few posts on it and I wrote a blog. I think it was for... I can't remember. I'm remembering the lady I spoke to was on her podcast, but mm-hmm. I wrote a blog on it just discussing management of time and how to create your own wealth maximizer calendar. So remind me after this, and I'll find the link for that blog, and people will be able to go and see a visual example of what mine looks like. Don't copy mine, because mine is based on my highest values and what's mm-hmm. most fulfilling to me. For most people, a 12-hour workday would make them sick. So I've based that around my life as an example, so you can visually see it, but you want to set one up as to what's most meaningful to you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. And no, thank you for what you do. And thank you for making the time to do this. And so where can people find you? I know you're going to send us some resources, but if someone just want to go, you know, follow you, find you, if there's any program or how they can connect with your private practice, any courses, anything like that. If they want more of Emmanuel, how can they have access to that?
They most certainly can. Well, one of the first ways, because we live in a global community now, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm doing these podcasts all around the world, and it's so amazing that with computer technology and Wi-Fi, all of a sudden, I don't even know what time it is where you are. We didn't ask each other, but it's mm-hmm. like we're present in the here and now. So we're living on a global mm-hmm. time. One of the most beautiful things about that is we can have what I call a virtual coffee. Mm-hmm. It's a 20-minute discovery call. So if you feel that I can be of assistance and help you create results, most people come to me with the fundamentals. So they've got emotional challenges, whether it's depression, anxiety, bipolar, relationship breakup, and they're looking to resolve emotions and get rid of those and get specific results in those areas, or achieve their goals and speed up the rate in which they achieve them. Whatever that is, or just learn the DeMartini method so you can learn how to be resilient, master your perceptions over anything that happens in your life within minutes to hours. We like to have a 20-minute discovery call. It's a virtual coffee, an opportunity for you and I to have a conversation so we can see, am I the right consultant for you? And are you a perfect match for what we're looking for? We guarantee our results. So we always want to make sure that we're working with ideal clients, and you guys are doing the same with me as well. So that's a great opportunity to have a conversation, connect, and also get crystal clear. At the end of that, you're going to get an understanding of where you are, how you got there, what symptoms and what your body's expressing, very detailed format as well. And then what specific results we can achieve and in what time frame we'll be able to do that in that. So that's a great way of doing that. I will leave a link below for the 20-minute discovery call. Otherwise, if you look online, you'll see that my Facebook, I'll also have that in there, my Instagram, where there's constantly posts that we place and live videos and things like that as well. And a range of podcasts. So yeah, there's a range of different ways there, but one of the greatest ways you can do that, if you really want to personalize it and specialize it towards yourself and your unique set of challenges, is booking that call, have a conversation. I love having them on a weekly basis. And I love the uniqueness of everyone's challenges that I get an opportunity to work on. It's been 11 years. I've worked with a couple of thousand clients now, and it still doesn't get old, really seeing how the world you really is and understanding human psychology and helping people to understand their own.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. So for everyone listening or watching this later, definitely click on the link that we'll share and kind of, and go book that, you know, 20-minute discovery call with Emmanuel. And I know that just the time we share here, I am a better person. I feel full, you know, and building my resilience and sharing, you know, sharing that knowledge with others as well. So once again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. And I like to say some of these sometimes at the end of a podcast, but not only do I feel very grateful, but I'm appreciative for not just your time, but your wisdom. It takes quite a lot to put these podcasts together and organize them on a weekly basis outside of everything else I know that you do. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with the world and giving people an opportunity while they're doing the dishes, going for a walk, maybe their cardio for the day or in the gym, to find some wisdom or something that gives them hope to not only push themselves, but really go out and be resilient and inspiring and fulfilled. Because you, there may be one person listening to you, but the impact of that may be 20 or 30 people within their lives. So it's a butterfly effect. So thank you for running a show like this.
Oh, well, thank you. Like you said, you know, we do what we love and we love what we do, and it doesn't feel like work. So yeah, that's the bottom line. All right, everyone, go out there and be resilient.